This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Sour Ben and Woods brought to you by Smart Investing. Brent Wilsey, host of the Smart Investing Show, will host a free investment workshop this Thursday, May 20th, to discuss how to invest in this crazy time. It'll be held at Alesmith Brewery. Seating is limited. Sign up at smartinvesting2000.com. Padres, Sunday Night Baseball last night. We'll talk with ESPN MLB writer and host June Lee, coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Woods, I think we had determined last time when the Padres faced the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball, it had been something like 8 years since they had last appeared. Now 2-0 this season on Sunday Night Baseball. The big comeback against the Dodgers, and then last night beating the Cardinals 5-3. And joining us right now on our premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, ESPN MLB writer. You see him on Around the Horn, see him on Baseball Tonight Live, their streaming pregame show. June Lee is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. June, great to have you on. Good morning to you.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, Woods is going to start with a hard-hitting question just because he watched the broadcast last night, and he's not blaming you for this.
No.
But is looking for an insider explanation from someone who works at ESPN.
June, thanks, first of all, for joining us. Very, very happy to have you. Love your work. That being said, you're going to get hit with a little bit of guilt by association, right? Because you work for ESPN. You watched the broadcast last night, and is their show prep essentially, hey, here's a book about Yadier Molina, and then just run with it. And if you get into a pinch on any other storylines, just defer back to Yadi in a pinch. Because that was somebody said on our Twitter, it was like watching a 30 for 30 on Yadier Molina last night. Holy smokes.
I am not part of the broadcast, so I don't necessarily know what went into the pre-production meetings, but I do know that that when a lot of pre-production work is done, they want to make sure that they use it. So that's the only explanation I could possibly give you guys.
Now, he's a great player.
Sure.
Like, now,
we're not slandering Yadi Molina, but enough is enough.
But, oh, my God. I mean, you know, he grounded into a double play, and A-Rod said, nice piece of hitting there by Yadi Molina. What are you talking about? It's just crazy.
It was a great play by Tucapita Marcano to turn the double play for sure.
It is. It's something else, Jim.
Well, I know we can go a lot of directions with you, June, but I do know you covered the KBO and you were originally born in South Korea. And since you were covering it for ESPN last year, you probably got to see a lot more of Ha Sung Kim than any Padres fan did before they signed him in the offseason. Certainly his defense has been Major League Baseball caliber. The bat hasn't quite gotten there yet. He's shown some signs, had a home run this weekend. But what were you kind of expecting from him when the Padres signed him based on what you had seen from the KBO?
Well, I think the irony of Ha Sung Kim's start so far is that the scouting report is kind of the opposite of what's happened so far, is that people are kind of skeptical whether or not he was going to be able to stick at shortstop defensively at the major league level, just given his range. And people were more confident that he would be able to kind of step up and hit at the major league level because of his success with the bat in the KBO. And so I've personally been surprised by the fact that his value that he's given to the Padres so far this season has basically been the opposite of that.
Yeah, his defense has been spectacular. He has a flair for the dramatic. I mean, do you expect him to come around offensively? There's moments, you know, hit a home run the other night. There's moments. I think everybody thought he would have a big day yesterday based on some familiarity with another pitcher. Do you expect his bat to kind of play? The more the season goes on, the more comfortable he gets.
Yeah, I think important context with just generally the KBO and players coming over from there is that, you know, at the major league level, you're seeing so many guys, you know, Joe Schmo coming out of the bullpen now throwing 98 to 100 miles per hour. And there's nobody in the KBO pretty much who throws that hard. I mean, I would say the average reliever probably throws high 80s there. And so there's kind of an adjustment period that I think is necessary and a little bit of patience that is required. Also, Ha-Seong Kim is only 25 years old. And so I think there's going to be a slight adjustment period that's going to be necessary for him to hit at the major league level. But we've seen guys come over from the KBO and hit in MLB. So I would just, before any kind of long-term judgment is made, I think a little bit more patience is required there.
Certainly looking like the NL West race is going to be an exciting one here. The Dodgers started so hot, then have gone into their slump. The Padres kind of took a while to find their footing, but even without some of their stars this past week, have been playing some of their best baseball, just a half a game behind the real surprise team, the San Francisco Giants. But given that the NL Central and the NL East, neither division is yet to fully get it going, my wonder is, could there be like three playoff teams coming out of the West this year, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. I'm very curious to see what the Giants look like as we move forward in the season, because obviously I didn't expect them to be this good coming out of the gate. And again, we're only a month and a half into the season. I tend to not to care too much about the standings until the first week of June in terms of making kind of longer term judgments for the season. And I honestly still believe that the Dodgers have the opportunity to be one of the greatest regular season teams of all time, just given the talent on their roster. But they've been dealing with a lot of injuries. Obviously, they signed Albert Pujols. But the Giants have had a lot of people step up this year. I mean, Mike Yastrzemski the last couple of years has turned into a legitimate star in the outfield at 30 years old. And then the Giants rotation, they've gotten so much contribution from guys like Kevin Gausman, Anthony DeSclafani, Alex Wood. They didn't have these high profile signings like the Dodgers did with Trevor Bauer, but they're getting a lot of production out of these guys in the early part of the season. So, I mean, the West, I think, is going to be competitive just between the Dodgers and the Padres. So if the Giants are able to stick with them, it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out over the course of the rest of the season.
Well, and you're already talking – we're talking to June Lee from ESPN. And, June, you're already seeing moves. You know, you're already seeing – the Dodgers went out and traded for somebody else this weekend from the Rays. Sasugo as well. They picked him up as well. So, yeah, you're already seeing teams that are in a little bit of a crunch, and I think the Padres are kind of getting there. Some injury bug. The injury bug is not avoided San Diego either. Do you foresee maybe the deadline's July 31st? Do you foresee maybe that being bumped up this year? Teams going after prized possessions, guys out of the bullpen. Do you see that being bumped up a little bit this season?
Well, I think just in general, we've seen so much parity so far in baseball. There hasn't really been a team that's run away with any of the divisions. Like, if you look at the standings right now, pretty much every single, the East, both in the American League and the National League, across baseball, the largest lead in the division is 2.5 games. It's the White Sox over Cleveland right now. And so we're seeing a lot of parity, which I think it means like there's going to be a lot of teams trying to go for it in the playoffs, for the playoffs with the wild card. There's going to be a lot of teams in the wild card contention. Every single year around the trade deadline, in non-COVID seasons, you see a lot of competition just for bullpen arms. And so, I would expect that we're going to start to see some teams start to get a little aggressive, as we kind of get towards the end of June.
Talking to ESPN's June Lee here with Ben and Woods. Ask you about the Giants a second ago. If there's an American League equivalent of a surprise team, it probably has to be the Boston Red Sox. And June, I know that was your team kind of growing up. How surprised are you by their start? I know Ohtani got him yesterday, and he's gotten a lot of people this season. But otherwise,
sure,
this has got to be a dream start for the Red Sox this year.
Yeah, I mean, even just around Boston, I don't think the expectation was that they would be in first place. They're a game and a half over the Blue Jays right now, 2 games over the Yankees, 2 games over the Rays. But the Red Sox have gotten so much contribution from kind of their depth. I think that has kind of been the hallmark of their season so far. They've gotten Nick Pivetta, who they traded for near the end of last season from the Phillies. He has looked like a legitimate, number three starter, and I don't think that the team necessarily I don't think that fans would have necessarily expected him to be as good as he's been this year. Their bullpen has been really good. Matt Barnes, who is a former first-round pick, has been one of the best relievers in baseball. Garrett Whitlock, who is the Rule 5 pick, has been kind of this really versatile swingman, has pitched 20 innings in 10 games so far this year, and potentially could be making an appearance in the rotation later down the road. And they're still waiting on Chris Sale to come back from Tommy John surgery. So, I think Xander Bogaerts has been the best shortstop in baseball so far this year. He's hitting 344, 9 homers, and since 2018 has the highest wins above replacement among all shortstops in baseball, which is, I think, surprising just given all the hype you hear around guys like Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, Javi Baez, you know, even Fernando Tatis. Xander Bogaerts, since 2018, has been the best offensive shortstop in the game. And so I think there's a lot of, basically all of the things that could go right so far this year have gone right for the Red Sox, which is why I think they find themselves in this position.
Mentioned Ohtani, my co-host said it again this morning. Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball right now.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, who brings more to the ballpark every day than that guy?
Do you agree with that assessment, June?
I would say that you have to have him in the MVP conversation right now.
Oh yeah.
He's basically hitting like prime Giancarlo Stanton, and is also like a number two starter in terms of his performance right now.
Well, he's a one there. He's a one, yeah. And for Anaheim, he's a one. Like, there's nobody better than that guy on that roster.
Yeah, and so, like, this is, I mean, he has 12 homers and is hitting .262, .304, .597 this year. And then he's also throwing 100 and being an elite pitcher on the mound. Like,
it's crazy.
It's hard to talk about him in the context of other baseball athletes. I tweeted this out the other night, but like watching Ohtani play, it's like when you watched Giannis come over a couple of years ago from Greece, and you were watching a guy who is as tall as he is go end to end on a basketball court in like four steps. Like, it's hard to explain like how good and just like uniquely talented someone like Ohtani is. And you know, I think there was a lot of skepticism when he came over from the MPB in Japan about whether or not the hitting would translate. And it's been funny to see that he's been a better hitter than he's been a pitcher so far. And obviously the injuries have played into that. But I mean, there's just nobody that's more fun to watch on a night to night basis than Ohtani. And the fact that he's hitting on the nights he pitches now too, this is just something that I think baseball fans are somehow underhyping, despite the fact that we're all just like mouth agape at what he's doing on a night-to-night basis, because it's so special what he's doing.
Yeah, unquestionably. I mean, again, this is like, we're talking about Babe Ruth stuff here, and it's a modern-day Babe Ruth, the myth and everything that he brings to the table. It's one of those things. I got a three-year-old son, and I'm like, I got to figure out when I can get up to Anaheim and take him to see him so that he can say, yeah, I watched him pitch. I watched him hit in the same game. I mean, it's that special what he's doing. And you're right. I mean, MLB is pretty good at underhyping things. That's one thing they're really good at. I think they're doing that here. I think they're really missing an opportunity. And do you get the feeling, though, June, if the Angels were better than 17-22 right now, if they were, let's say, 22-17, do you think that would be different?
I don't know. I mean, like, again, Major League Baseball is very good at underhyping things. And I think part of this responsibility falls on the media and the fan, like, and the fans as well. Like, as amazing as, like, the hardcore baseball nerd is for what Ohtani is doing, this should be someone that every sports fan, casual sports fan in America should be talking about on, like, yes, a night-to-night basis. Like, what did Shohei Ohtani do last night? Like, this guy's 26 years old still, which is crazy to think about. And that, like, imagining that he could get better. Like, he's someone who is not only an amazing pitcher and an amazing hitter, but he's also one of the faster players in baseball, yeah, as well. Like, he's doing something that I just think is so hard to comprehend about how much athletic ability it takes, that it's hard for people to talk about him in discussion, because there's no comparison pretty much other than Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth played in, you know, the 1910s and 1920s. So it's just a different conversation.
Great stuff from ESPN's June Lee. June, really appreciate it. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
That was June Lee on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
I mean, it's legit. Like, when we used to watch, I remember, you know, Deion Sanders was the all-world, you know, primetime cornerback. And then every now and then they'd go slot him at receiver, and you're like, ooh. But imagine being like the wide receiver, the one, and then going in and playing the one, taking the toughest receiver on the other team, playing cornerback. That's what Ohtani's doing. It's really remarkable.
It's interesting because football is really more the one sport where you don't have to play both sides.
Right.
You're either an offensive player or a defensive player.
Yeah.
In baseball, unless you're the designated hitter or a pitcher, you're expected to do both. Now, not everyone's great at both, but you have to at least be competent, you know, out in the field
yeah.
if you're a great hitter. Or if you're a great defender, you got to be able to at least slap out, you know, 230, 240 average if you want to be a decent player. But the pitcher is kind of usually the exception. If the designated hitter went away all of a sudden, it would certainly be a different story. I mean, I think Ohtani would be much more valuable in that case, right, if there was no designated hitter.
Oh, God.
Like in a national
– yeah.
Think about this. Think
if he played for the Padres, right?
Or just, you know, when the Angels play National League rules in National League ballpark, that's a huge advantage.
Massive.
National League hitters are pitching hitters are terrible right
They're
now.
Terrible.
Hitting under 100 or
yep.
right around 100 this year. That's a huge lineup advantage that the Angels would have in a National League ballpark if he is your pitcher. It's mitigated in the American League because, yeah, he's pitching and he's hitting and he's great at both, but the whoever they're facing, you could be going against the ace of the staff. They just put a designated hitter in. Maybe he's not as, you know, power laden as Ohtani, but you're probably getting a pretty decent designated hitter. So it's not, you're not making that big difference. And the National League is where he'd make a huge difference.
Oh, he would crush. He would absolutely
yeah.
crush. And the funny thing is, Ben, like he pitched the other night, was hitting for himself, and then went into play right field. So now you're talking about three different things that he brings to the table, capable. And again, like June mentioned, the base stealing, the speed that he has, it really is remarkable what he's doing. Remarkable.
We have a ton to get to coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. We still have to go through Saturday night's offensive explosion by the Padres. Yesterday's game, recap that, including that the Manny Machado play that got a little run on social media again, and people taking shots on, you know, at Manny Machado.
Weird.
Yet again, we've seen this a bunch. So we'll go through both of those games in our 7 o'clock hour. Also, have our new format for Take on Woods with three categories for the listeners to choose from in our musical trivia game. Try to qualify someone for the getaway to Las Vegas. That is coming up in our next segment. So be ready to call in just a few minutes at 833-288-0973 for your chance to play. I watched a little other sports over the weekend. I'm assuming you didn't catch the Preakness. I tuned in for just the 2 minutes of the race because of the whole Medina Spirit controversy to see how he would finish.
No.
He ended up third, which honestly I feel like is probably good news for like Bob Baffert and the sport. I think if Medina Spirit wins that race, the buildup and the controversy, then going for the Triple Crown with this positive, you know, drug test hanging over the sport's head is a bad thing. If he finishes in the back of the pack, it's also like,
ooh,
oh wow, yeah,
now look what happens.
Now that they're watching him and they're testing him and he's, you know, he's clean, he can't fit. He ran a pretty good race. Yeah, he got beaten, you know, on a stretch run by Rombauer, which ended up winning the race. And now no one really pays attention to the Belmont, even in, you know, unless you're a huge horse racing fan. If it's not going for the Triple Crown, no one really cares about the third leg. So
yeah, they really got the shaft on that, didn't they?
That story will kind of, being the third. Well,
third.
But on the years
yes.
are going for the Triple Crown, everyone then has to see it. I mean, oh, my God, he's going
How
for the
often
triple...
does that happen, though?
My guess would be, obviously, there hadn't been a Triple Crown winner until American Pharoah. There was that big gap.
Yeah,
since 1978 and affirmed. So, but I would say every, you know, 4 or 5 years, there was a horse that would win the first two and go for it and not make it. So there would at least be the hype every few years for that Belmont Stakes. So did see that. Also saw your Texas weather almost destroying the AT&T Byron Nelson on Sunday.
I told you. It's the worst. It is the worst.
Just awful.
The worst.
K.H. Lee won and earned a spot in this week's PGA Championship. It's a major week on the PGA Tour. That's the new schedule. Usually the PGA Championship was in August at the end of the season. Now they've moved it up to be the second major in May. So comes around a lot quicker after the Masters that we get another major already here in the golf world this week.
Lay it out for me, Benny.
All right, so Kiawa Island, the Ocean Course, is where they're going to be hosting it. Last in 2012, Rory McIlroy was the winner that year. Rory McIlroy just won last week, put two and two together. You think he's probably a pretty good selection for the tournament this week, so we'll see what happens there. But they will get started with practice rounds today.
Let's go.
And get going on Thursday. All right, we'll take on Woods. We'll get into Saturday night's game. All coming up next, Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.